You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
So come midday Monday, you're going to crack out the popcorn, darken the shades, and watch the Academy Awards. Now, it used to be big in my TV calendar year. I have to confess, I haven't watched the Academy Awards for a while. But I do want to know who you are rooting for. Josh Nelson is with us to talk film and the Academy Awards. His blog is filmology.com. That's spelt with a P-H. Josh, welcome.
Good afternoon.
I love challenging someone like you with a bit of a form guide. I just want to hang, draw, and quarter you with your own predictions. I'd love to hear from you if you're rooting for someone at the Academy Awards. Do you care? Maybe you're passionate that Cate Blanchett should win an Academy Award. Maybe you're passionate that she should not because it's a Woody Allen film. I don't know. Josh, I've heard a hell of a lot about Nebraska. Tell me about it.
Nebraska is the latest film from director Alexander Payne, whose previous films, and he's an Oscar favourite often, The Descendants, About Schmidt, and Sideways. And what's interesting about this film is that it really recaps a number of the ideas that we see him exploring in these earlier films, particularly the form of the road movie. And this is a film about an elderly man, he's in his 80s, played by Bruce Dern, who's up for an Oscar nomination. And he receives a $1 million sweepstakes in the mail.
Have a little listen.
So you told the sheriff that you were walking to Nebraska.
That's right. To get my $1 million.
This is Woody Grant.
We are now authorized to pay $1 million to Woodrow T. Grant of Billings, Montana.
This is his son.
You didn't win anything. It's a complete scam. So you got to stop this, okay?
I'm running out of time.
How much longer is he going to be around? What's the harm in letting him have his little fantasy for just a couple more days?
So that's the trailer for Nebraska. Just fill me in, Josh. He's the dad's deluded about this prize?
Yeah, he's convinced that he actually is going to be the recipient of $1 million if he can get from Montana to Nebraska by the date that's on the flyer that he receives in the mail. And his reluctant son finally decides, despite a history that emerges throughout the film of alcoholism and a kind of a sort of abusive relationship, that he's going to cross the country with him on this trip, just to sort of, as you heard there, satisfy this fantasy. This was a bit of a slow burn, and it took me a while to warm to this film, particularly the dialogue. A lot of what's interesting about the early stages of the film is there's no real subtlety. Everyone just speaks their mind, speaks what's patently obvious, even without dialogue. But what happens, and this is where I really started to warm to it, as the road trip goes on and he takes a detour to his childhood town, the father's childhood town. The unspoken stuff is not actually articulated. And there's some really powerful, kind of poignant moments that come out in what's a fairly somber film for the most part. And it really is about those two lead characters, the Bruce Dern character and the son, who is performed by Will Forte, who I think is mostly done, from what I understand, sitcoms on TV. Right. He was the cross-dressing boyfriend of one of the performers in 30 Rock.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right.
It's also a black and white film, which is, again, it's quite a visually striking film. And that's one of the traits of Alexander Payne. You know, there's contrast between the landscape and characters. And if you remember About Schmidt, there's those moments where I think the Jack Nicholson character stops at all these various like natural history museums on the way. And while the Bruce Dern character doesn't actually stop in a museum per se, it has that same feel of we're just going to these parts of America that haven't changed for 50 years. And it's almost like retreading personal and cultural history. And like, this is a kind of an America in decline. Like for the most part, it's all an elderly cast in the film.
And this is the director's home state. I just wonder, I haven't seen, I wonder from the descriptions and from that dialogue, is it too mannered? You know, sometimes the character might stop in a frame and make a beautiful picture, but it seems a little unreal, or does it work?
It is very much unreal, and I think that's the intention, particularly in the early stages, is to take the kind of banality of life, the kind of mundanity of these characters, and make it seem unnatural. Mm. Like even the way that certain actors give their lines is in sort of a staccato rhythm. It's really quite strange, not to the same degree that, say, David Lynch does in something like Blue Velvet, but in enough of a way to make it seem unnatural, which is curious because as the road journey goes on, they become far more humanized and the delivery of the main characters changes as well. So the performances shift. And I think if I was to go back and watch this film again, which I'm tempted to do, I think I may feel very differently about the opening half of the film.
Yeah, right. Now, and all the people who I read and listen to from the United States, my favorite podcasts and write, they are completely in a lather about this. They just think this is the bee's knees. Is it good?
It is good. Look, I'm still uncertain about it. I'm uncertain about Alexander Payne as a filmmaker because I like elements of all of his films, but I don't think there's been the standout film that I've completely loved. Yeah. In fact, The Descendants was another curious one because, again,
that's the George Clooney Hawaii one.
Yeah, and the critics overseas were, like you said, in the lather about that one, and I just didn't get it. I just didn't see what they say. It was fine. I thought the performance from the older daughter in that film was great. But in terms of the way in which it was celebrated, it just seemed kind of out of touch with at least my reaction or how I warmed to it or didn't warm to it. Yeah. But yeah, he's doing something interesting. And the way in which he keeps approaching these films and these characters through the form of the road movie, I think, is interesting. Like, he's really exploring the kind of the middle spaces of America, you know, and outside of that home, the notion of home.
Always strikes me films like that are American art house, and they seem very culturally specific. There's obviously something about the mannered style that works if you're from that culture. Maybe we're enough of a different culture that it doesn't quite resonate as strongly.
Yeah, well, the road movie is such sort of so synonymous with American culture, you know, from the 60s onwards with, you know, like things like Easy Rider and so on. So, yeah, there is something about that heartland of America, like, you know, not on the extreme east or west coast, but, you know, middle America, which I think these directors are clearly exploring.
Wide release, Nebraska?
Wide art house release here.
Yeah, yep. Okay. Nebraska by Alexander Payne. Let me read a few of your texts. Cate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine. She is brilliant in this movie. I've been asking for your predictions, your hopes for the Academy Awards on Monday, the Oscars. Hey, Raph, is there an award ceremony to celebrate award ceremonies? That's from Jim. Sally Hawkins for me, simply outstanding in Blue Jasmine. Is she best supporting actress? Yes, she is.
She plays Cate Blanchett's sister in the film.
And I'll try to get to more of those texts in a moment. After more than 80 years, you would think they've got this acting awards done better than this by now. Maybe. Josh, I'll get to your predictions soon too. We'll also have a chat about Out of the Furnace. But let's have a little listen first to this film about the decaying. This is Rust Belt stuff, isn't it? The trailer for Out of the Furnace.
Now, why the hell you want to fight?
I just need the money.
You're going to be a good boy and take a dive. I'm not going to have to teach you a lesson.
Help me!
They haven't been able to find your brother. The people up in those hills have their own breed of justice, and it does not include us.
This DeGroat is the worst. He haunts those mountains.
Don't do anything for me.
You don't
want to
go there.
We're going to get one shot at this guy. You ready for this?
So Out of the Furnace, set it up for me, Josh. What's going on?
Well, if the last one is America caught in a museum, this is post-industrial Pennsylvania decay. The director, Scott Cooper's previous film got a bit of critical cred as well, and that was Crazy Heart, the film with Jeff Bridges and the country and western singer trying to recoup his career. This is a strange film because it hasn't got a wide release. In fact, it's incredibly limited here. There was a chance it wasn't even going to get a cinematic release. But when I read through the cast, that's going to seem a little bizarre because Christian Bale is the star, Casey Affleck, Willem Dafoe, Sam Shepard, Woody Harrelson, the other man of the hour, the true detective hour, Forrest Whitaker, and Zoe Saldana.
All right.
And it really revolves around the two brothers, Christian Bale and Affleck. Bale works at the steel mill, very much like the Deer Hunter. In fact, the town looks identical to the Deer Hunter. Casey Affleck is a Marine stuck in a stop-loss environment. He's done 4 tours to Iraq.
Doesn't sound that different to Deer Hunter.
It gets pretty dour, And Affleck comes back and gets involved in sort of bare-knuckle fist-fighting run by Woody Harrelson, who sort of lives in this kind of hillbilly environment in the Appalachian Mountains, and something goes wrong on one of the fights and Bale has to sort of step in. I don't want to give away too much of the plot because what's interesting about this film is that the dramatic high point or climax of the film really occurs halfway through the narrative, and then it's about the repercussions and the kind of consequences and the moral questions get asked in the second half. One of the things I love about cinema, even sort of overlooking its faults, is films that have a strong sense of atmosphere. And this has a really strong sense of a kind of a dour, a sense of decay. This is America in decline, kind of 101.
Right.
And I love it. And I think it does it really well. And, you know, even to the point where one of the criticisms I've heard, because this film has had mixed reviews, is that it overdoes the drama.
Right.
You know, we've got one guy's come from Iraq, the other guy, you know, his dad's got emphysema and he's struggling to get it, you know, and his girlfriend gets pregnant and then she's seeing someone else.
And the good brother has to go and help the bad brother.
Yeah. So it lays it on pretty thick, but this film gets away with it for mine because of the performances, and the direction's pretty strong. I mean, this is a great performance by Bale. And again, this is a film that's largely been overlooked completely by the Academy, and yet American Hustle and Bale's performance in that has been the one getting all the nods.
So this is really worth seeing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's going to be hard to see because it is on a limited release, but there's something about this film that works. And I can see the criticisms. The cast is too big and they don't make the most of them.
Okay.
Forest Whitaker and Zoe Saldana are kind of afterthoughts in the second half of the narrative, and that's a shame because they're such talented actors.
Yeah.
Same with Willem Dafoe. But there's something about what's at the core of this film and the way in which it plays with clichés. I mean, this is that kind of American machismo in decay as well. And even though it verges towards a traditional...
They've been making that film for a few decades.
Well, I know. This is one of my obsessions as well. It's probably why I connected with it, I warmed to it, is that even at the end when it plays with the revenge cliches, it does something quite different, or at least it tries to toy with them a little. It doesn't just kind of retread it identically to how we've seen it before. So yeah, there's something quite compelling about this film that I really enjoyed.
It is Out of the Furnace. We'll get to more of your calls and your texts. I do want to know about your predictions, your hopes. You're maybe even predicting dashed expectations for the Academy Awards on Monday. 1300 222 774.
On 774 ABC Melbourne, you're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Josh Nelson is with me. His blog is filmology.com with a PH. Dave, just following up in Out of the Furnace, how good was Woody in Out of the Furnace? Loved it. That's from Dave in Somerville. Dallas Buyers Club to clean up. Simply brilliant. That's from Morag in Northcote. And most interested in seeing how Ellen does at the Oscars. So much pressure. Yes, indeed. Ellen DeGeneres. It's okay. No one's looking if you stuff up. It'll be fine. Take me through the basic three awards. Well, I consider them to be the basic three. Best film, best actor, best actress. What's going to happen?
I think 12 Years a Slave is going to get up.
Okay.
I was a bit uncertain, and now I've got a feeling that maybe there's been a bit of a run on. I mean, it's all so political, as you know, and, you know, the lobbying continues up to the final moments. But I think 12 Years a Slave will get up.
Because it's the best or because it's about slavery?
Well, it's definitely my favourite. I think it always depends on the politics. If they decide to go more for Dallas Buyers Club, I mean, I don't think Gravity will win. It'll sweep and clean up the technical awards, I have no doubt. But yeah, something just... My gut says.
Do you think there's enough people who vote in those awards who would be a bit embarrassed to award something like American Hustle, which is a complicated, beautiful, and funny heist flick, as opposed to a very serious film about slavery?
Possibly. I mean, genre films don't tend to do well, which is why I don't think, say, Wolf of Wall Street, even though it's not a typical genre film, but there's comedy in there as well. I don't think that satire will rub well with everyone.
Yep.
Same with Her. I think it's probably a little bit too out there. I think Spike Jonze will probably win the scriptwriting award as sort of the token gesture.
Here's the one with Joaquin Phoenix falling in love with his computer.
Scarlett Johansson. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Director could be an interesting one as well. I'm hoping for Steve McQueen, but I actually have a hunch that maybe Cuaron could steal it for Gravity. If it's going to get one of the major ones, that could be it.
Okay, and Steve McQueen is the director of 12 Years a Slave. And you haven't told me that Philomena is going to win Best Film.
Well, Harvey Weinstein's been lobbying hard from what I hear.
Had
the front cover, the back cover, and the inside back cover from Variety all stitched up.
Okay.
Actress, look, I think Cate Blanchett's as much of a lock as you can ever have a lock comes to the Oscars.
Woody Allen scandal notwithstanding?
Yeah, I think even with that, I mean, I don't think Woody's a chance to win the screenplay now, probably because of it, which is a shame because I think of the screenplays that are actually up for it in terms of original screenplay, I think it's one of the better ones. Look, actor, you probably just think I'm going to say McConaughey, and I actually think he probably will win.
Right.
But my heart is actually now with DiCaprio.
I think it's
the most dynamic performance of them all, and you know, in a pretty good field. But again, Bruce Dern has the old aspect to him. You know, he hasn't won before, I don't think. Will I give it to the old guy as they've done previously? So, look, that could be a little bit more up in the air, I reckon.
Okay. And Bruce Dern, is Bruce Dern the star of Nebraska, the film we spoke about? Is he Laura Dern's dad?
He is, yep.
Yeah, right, okay. Thought so. Josh, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Josh is a film critic. You can check out his blog at filmology.com. It's spelt with a P-H.